This is Apollo Control. It's 73 hours, 18 minutes. Apollo 17 has just entered the lunar sphere of influence, and the distance velocity displays here in the control center are now a reference to the moon. Apollo 17 is 33,803 nautical miles from the moon, traveling at a speed of 3,355 feet per second. This is Apollo Control. It's 73 hours, 23 minutes. On its present trajectory and without doing a lunar orbit insertion burn, Apollo 17 would reach its closest approach to the moon at a ground elapsed time of 88 hours, 58 minutes, 12 seconds. The distance of that closest approach would be 53.48 nautical miles, and spacecraft velocity at that time would be 8,198 feet per second. We expect the crew to settle down into an 8-hour rest period here very shortly. On the flight plan, that rest period due to begin at 73 hours, some 24 minutes ago. We do expect that the crew will shortly go into that rest period.
17 Houston, go ahead.
Okay, Bob, we're going to turn out the lights now and hit the sack.
Okay, have you gone through the pre-sleep checklist, getting ready on the comm and all that?
Yeah, it's firm, the pre-sleep checklist.
We're not getting any biomed data on, it's supposed to be on Ron, I guess, but we're not showing any biomed data.
Houston, do you read 17?
17 Houston, how do you read me?
Yeah, I'm reading you, Bob. What'd you say I might want?
We might check the sensors on Ron. We're not getting any biomed data. Is he unplugged?
Well, that's because he's unplugged. Give him a chance to get hooked up and change some leads here.
Okay.
Everything else, the pre-sleep checklist is complete. I'm going to leave the comm cap on tonight. Our tone boost doesn't work, so I'll just be on comm all night.
Stand by on that, Gene.
Good night, Robert.
Good night, Gene. Got a busy day tomorrow, and we'll be with you then.
This is Apollo Control at 73 hours, 49 minutes. We said goodnight to the crew at 73 hours, 47 minutes. And we don't expect any more conversation with them tonight. Flight Surgeon is now receiving good biomedical data from the Command Module Pilot, Ron Evans. We'll leave the line up for a few minutes in case there are any postscripts to the air ground. And if not, we'll take the line down and come back up hourly with reports. But for the moment, we'll leave the line up live. This is Apollo Control. As the crew turns in, the spacecraft is 32,741 nautical miles from the moon. Velocity 3,362 feet per second. This is Apollo Control at 74 hours, 4 minutes. Apollo 17 now 32,264 nautical miles from the moon. Velocity 3,366. The crew has settled down for the night, and we'll take the lines down now, come back up with hourly reports. This is Apollo Control at 74 hours, 50 minutes. Gene Kranz and the white team of flight controllers are preparing to take over duties in the Mission Control Center, relieving the orange team, which has been directed tonight by Chuck Lewis. This has been a relatively quiet shift. Major activity was the medical experiment to gather more information on light flashes that most Apollo crews have seen with their eyes closed. We also updated the ground elapsed time clock during this shift, moving it ahead 2 hours and 40 minutes. This being necessary to bring the Greenwich Mean Time, ground elapsed time, and the flight plan into agreement. These areas had not agreed because of the late launch. Crew reported seeing the S-4B in the distance at one time during the shift. Spacecraft entered the lunar sphere of influence at 73 hours, 17 minutes, 45 seconds. And we said goodnight to the crew at 73 hours, 47 minutes. 6 hours, 8 minutes remaining in this rest period now. There will be no change of shift news conference when this shift breaks at midnight. No change of shift news conference. And at the present time, Apollo 17 is 30,705 nautical miles from the moon. Velocity 3,378 feet per second. At 74 hours, 52 minutes, this is Mission Control, Houston.
This is Apollo Control at 75 hours, 37 minutes. Flight Director Gene Kranz and the oncoming white team of flight controllers have been going over the status of the mission and find everything progressing very smoothly at this point. No anomalies in the performance of the spacecraft. All systems in very good shape. And we're either up to or slightly ahead of the flight plan values on consumables at this point. During the shift, a number of the flight controllers will begin working on some of the data the crew will use on awakening to place the spacecraft in lunar orbit. That event scheduled to occur at about 88 hours, 56 minutes. And the retrofire officer and the flight dynamics officer will be busy during this shift working out some of the preliminary numbers that will be used in the lunar orbit insertion maneuver. There is still no decision as to whether or not mid-course correction 4 will need to be performed, and we suspect that that decision will also be made later on during this shift. At the present time, Apollo 17 is 29,152 nautical miles from the moon, and the spacecraft velocity is now 3,391 feet per second. This is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control at 76 hours, 37 minutes. now about 4.5 hours away from the scheduled crew awakening time. Flight surgeon reports that the crew appears to be resting comfortably at this time. Command module pilot Ron Evans is wearing the biomedical harness during this sleep period. And Commander Gene Cernan has the watch wearing the headset and would receive any call from the control center. Apollo 17 is 27,178 nautical miles from the moon, and we're watching the velocity gradually build up under the growing effect of lunar gravity, up now to 3,411 feet per second. This is Apollo Control, Houston, standing by at 76 hours, 38 minutes. This is Apollo Control at 77 hours, 37 minutes, continuing to maintain the watch while the crew aboard Apollo 17 gets some sleep. Now about 3.5 hours left in that sleep period, and that could be extended by 30 minutes or so if a decision is made not to make the final mid-course correction before going into lunar orbit. We expect to be getting a reading on the necessity for that mid-course correction, which in any event will be a very small maneuver before this shift ends. The mid-course correction opportunity occurs at 83 hours, 55 minutes in the flight plan. And the flight dynamics officer has gotten what appears to be a good final indication of the impact coordinates for the Saturn third stage. The latest coordinates are 4 degrees 11 minutes south and 12 degrees 23 minutes west. Apollo 17 at this time 25,131 nautical miles from the moon. The spacecraft velocity 3,434 feet per second. This is Apollo Control at 77 hours, 38 minutes. This is Apollo Control at 78 hours, 37 minutes. There's been no change in the spacecraft status during the past hour. Everything continues to function normally. And we have about 2.5 hours remaining in the crew sleep period. The flight dynamics officer reports that we've got a mid-course correction, if it's performed prior to lunar orbit insertion, of about 0.5 foot per second or less. And that very small maneuver, if performed, would occur at 83 hours, 55 minutes. Apollo 17 is now 23,112 nautical miles from the moon, and the spacecraft velocity up to 3,460 feet per second. We'll see that increase to somewhat in excess of 8,000 feet per second as the spacecraft reaches the moon and swings around the moon, goes into orbit. The lunar orbit insertion burn removes on the order of 3,000 feet per second from that velocity, a lunar orbital velocity around 1 mile per second. The flight surgeon has noted some stirrings, a little bit of an elevation in the heart rate of Ron Evans, who is wearing the biomedical sensors during this sleep period. Although for the most part, Evans has been sleeping soundly. At 78 hours, 39 minutes, this is Apollo Control, Houston. Apollo Control at 79 hours, 37 minutes. Now about an hour and a half away from the scheduled time for crew awakening. And it has again been very uneventful, very quiet sleep shift with the flight controllers here in mission control monitoring spacecraft systems. Everything continuing to perform almost perfectly as planned, everything nominal. And our flight dynamics display at the present time is showing the spacecraft distance related to Earth. Apollo 17 now 198,800 nautical miles from Earth, traveling at a speed, again with respect to Earth, of 2,168 feet per second. After awakening, the crew's major activities during the day include jettisoning the scientific instrument module door, which exposes the scientific instruments in the spacecraft service module to the lunar environment. Lunar orbit insertion is scheduled to occur at about 88 hours, 56 minutes. The Saturn third stage will be impacting the lunar surface. And there's still a possibility of a final mid-course correction prior to lunar orbit insertion. That mid-course correction to occur, if it occurs, at 83 hours, 55 minutes. And we expect that we will have a decision or a recommendation from the flight dynamics officer within the next couple of hours as to whether or not that mid-course correction will be required. If it is done, it will be a very small maneuver performed with the reaction control system thrusters on the CSM. At 79 hours, 39 minutes, this is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control at 80 hours, 41 minutes. We have about 18 minutes remaining before the scheduled crew awakening time. However, we're planning to give them at least an additional 15 minutes of sleep and perhaps 30 minutes additional. The flight dynamics officer hopes to delay a decision on the need for mid-course correction 4 until additional tracking data is available. That maneuver, if it's performed, remains very small, on the order of a half foot per second. And the decision revolves around what height of approach paracynthian we'll have with or without the maneuver. Tracking data right now shows that Apollo 17 will be approaching the moon with a paracynthian of about 52 nautical miles. The desired paracynthian is 53 and a half. And the FIDO would like to get a bit more tracking data before making that decision. So we'll be putting off the decision as to whether or not to awaken the crew or give them more sleep time until the last possible moment. Apollo 17 at this time is 18,839 nautical miles from the moon, and the velocity up to 3,500 feet per second. We've seen no signs of activity aboard the spacecraft. The flight surgeon will begin to note increase heart and respiration rates on Ron Evans, who is wearing the biomedical sensors during the sleep period. And before receiving a call from the crew, we'll see the voice subcarrier come on, and we'll be watching for any of those cues. If it appears that the crew is indeed up and about, we'll bring the lines up and stand by live, or as soon as the decision is made to send them a wake-up call, we'll come up and stand by live. At 80 hours, 44 minutes, this is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control at 81 hours, 25 minutes. We're planning to put a call through to the crew in about 5 minutes to awaken them. And Apollo 17 at this time is about 17,350 nautical miles from the moon. Spacecraft velocity, 3,567 feet per second. After awakening the crew, we will be discussing a minor problem that's been noted during the sleep period. This involves a heater cycling in one of the three cryogenic hydrogen tanks that supplies hydrogen to the fuel cells. The nature of the problem is a heater that is cycling more often than normal. These heaters are controlled by a pressure-sensitive switch in the tank. As the temperature within the tank drops and the pressure drops, the switch senses this and activates the heater to bring up the temperature and hence the pressure within the tank and assure a constant flow of hydrogen to the fuel cells. The sensor appears to be responding to a much narrower range of temperature decrease. It would normally respond to about a 20 degree excursion in temperatures. And it is now apparently responding to about a 2 to 3 degree temperature excursion, and therefore cycling more rapidly than would normally be the case. This in itself is no concern. However, if the automatic cycling should fail, if the automatic cycling function should fail, it would require going to a backup manual mode whereby the crew would be instructed to turn the heaters on and off at certain intervals to maintain the proper pressure in the tank. This, by the way, is a mode of operation that has been used on previous missions and works very well with a minimum impact to the crew time. And as mentioned, at this point we would see no reason for having to go to a manual mode. That would require some subsequent failure. This situation, however, will be discussed with the crew, and they'll be advised as to the procedure that would be taken in the event that subsequent failure should occur, necessitating the manual activation of the heater within this one tank. And we're now about 1 minute, 50 seconds away from the scheduled awakening time, having given the crew an additional 30 minutes of sleep. Flight Dynamics Officer expects to give us a go or no go for the mid-course correction prior to lunar orbit insertion in about a half an hour at some 82 hours ground elapsed time. We'll continue to stand by live for that call to the crew. 17 Houston, did you call?
Hello, Robert. You gave us an extra half hour.
That's affirmative. We are presently still debating on mid-course 4, Gino. And at the present time, it's small, about a half a foot per second. We're expecting a final decision on whether it's necessary or not in approximately 1 hour, 8230. We'll let you know then, but it will be small. And so we decided to give you an extra half hour sleep.
Okay. Bob, without me having to look it up, when will it come if it comes?
Stand by. 8355. So we'll give you about an hour and 25 minutes advance notice.
Okay. Real, we'll start stirring around.
Okay, give me a call when you want to talk to people.
17. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm not sure ready to talk yet, Bob, but I just thought you'd like to know we got a pretty spectacular view of Africa today. Can see the Sinai, can see the Red Sea, the Sea of Aden, and for the first time, I think we can not only see the Mediterranean, but we can see the most of the southern European countries, Turkey and Greece, and up in Italy and some of those places. Can't quite see Spain because you're just about on the horizon. And for the most part, it looks like the weather throughout the Mediterranean and northern Africa looks pretty good.
Okay, we're copying that. And if you guys are willing to do a little switch flipping this early in the morning, we'd like you to turn on the pan camera heaters, which means if somebody's down there in that vicinity, it's FMAC power on, and then the self-test switch to heaters. Over.
You want the SMAC power on and the self-test switch to heaters?
That's affirmed.
Okay, we'll get that.
Okay.
Okay, we got both of those.
Gee, I didn't wake you up, did I?
Well. the left CFLP is 0.6.
Okay, copy that. Sounds good.
Houston, Apollo 17, how do you read?
Loud and clear, 17, we're with you.
Okay, we didn't get you there for about 5 minutes, Bob, with good uplink signal strength. Were you guys having a problem?
Not that I know of. We were getting a lot of noise down here, and we seemed to think that you guys were assumed you guys were turning away from us or something, but we're with you.
No, you might think about that one a little bit. We had a very strong uplink signal strength, as good as right now, and Gene was trying to call you off and on for several minutes, and we didn't get any response, but sounds real good now.
Okay, sorry about that.
Hey, Bob, good morning. It's a good chance to talk to you for once.
Yeah, for once, yeah. Talk to me now this next hour, and I won't talk to you again for another 3 or 4 days there, Ronald.
Okay.
Nice to be able to talk to somebody.
Bob,
to change
your,
that.
Friendly medical officer.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, if you got something to say.
Speak.
Okay, your friendly medical officer has all the good words, starting with the CDR and the food. Are you ready to copy?
Ready to copy.
Okay, it was a big day yesterday, eating-wise. CDR had sausage patties, pears, and cocoa for breakfast. Ham, one-fourth cheese spread, one-half bread and one-half cereal bar, and one orange beverage for lunch. Tomato soup, half a hamburger, half mustard, vanilla pudding, and an orange pineapple drink for dinner.
Okay, copy that. Okay, 17, I got the CDR's food, and then you broke up, and I got 5 hours of sleep and two containers of water. Was there something between?
That's from your previous DRD reading, 17032.
Okay, copy that. Roger, that's firm.
17, how do you read now?
Okay, read you again, go ahead.
Okay, for the LMV, the Boot Eaton, well, let's see. I guess it's not the Eaton versus not Eaton. I'll give you what I ate. Sausage patties, grits, pears, pineapple, grapefruit drink, coffee. And let me make a note that the package of peaches in that pack was broken in the package. Also, I had chicken soup, ham, bread, orange drink, and four bacon squares. For dinner, I sort of ate some leftovers, had grape drink, corn chowder, chocolate pudding. And I've had standby. The PRD reading 24080. Had 7.5 hours of very good sleep last night. I took a Thinkanol in order to get to sleep. And I've had 2.5 containers of water since last report.
Okay, copy all that, Jack.
Okay, the CMP. The chow hound of the kennel here at sausage, grits, fruit cocktail, orange beverage, and coffee. He had ham, cheese spread, peaches, cereal bar, and orange pineapple drink. Later on, he had tomato soup, half a hamburger, half mustard, vanilla pudding, sugar cookies, grape drink, and tea. And he has a complaint this morning, much like mine, that his apricot package had broken in the bag. And although not too significant itself, it makes everything else pretty sticky.
I copy that.
Okay, DMP Medical is 15031 PRD. He had 7 hours restless sleep, and he'd like a comment from the doctors on how that looked on his biomed. And he had a Thinkanol, and he's had 4 containers of water.
Okay, we copy all that one also. Jack, you guys still going to fit in your spacesuits?
You'd stick around, you know, we tried those on yesterday.
Roger, copy. Tried to talk to you guys yesterday morning, but I didn't quite make it there. It was a problem, apparently, someplace.
That's all right. We're stuffing him with food, so he can't sleep.
Okay, and the comment concerning Ron's sleep from the surgeon, Jack, is that he was restless the first hour and had periods of restlessness during the night, but we logged him for about 7 hours of sleep also. But we did see periods of wakefulness, some of which were maybe up to 10 minutes long.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's good. Thank you. If I can't tell how long I'm awake and, you know, how long you're really asleep.
Well, I tell you, Ron, if you wake up during the night, you might just sit there and stare at the second hand, and then you can count and tell how long you're awake.
Okay.
Okay, we owe you guys a consumable update, and on RCS consumables, your RCS fuel remaining is still 1.4% above the flight plan. That's a slight improvement over the 1.3% from yesterday. Roger. The consumables are still about the same. And if you guys will wind your watches, we'll consider the post-sleep checklist finished.
Okay, and Gino's got a no-bias check for you.
Okay, Roger on that. We're waiting.
Okay, Bob, made two checks over a period of 100 seconds. One was minus 99.0, and the other was minus 98.9.
Okay, we copy minus 99.0 and minus 98.9, Gino.
And
we like Omni Charlie, please, there, 17. And Apollo 17 Houston, I'd like to recommend you go squelch off at this time if you haven't, and we'll keep calling you the Omnis to change as you rotate there, over.
Okay, Bob, we've been flying normally with it enabled. Maybe you think that's the problem.
Stand by on that, and while we're thinking about that, can we confirm that the only medication you've had is Seconal for you and a Seconal for Ron, and nothing for the commander?
This is Gino. That's right, I did not take any Seconal last night. One thing I wanted to talk to you about, though, I took one anti-gift till after breakfast. I took one after supper, and I took one prior to going to sleep, which were probably within an hour apart. If you got a better solution than those gas pills, I'd sure like to hear it.
Understand that, Gene. We'll get back with you, I guess, on that later. And Jack, as far as turning the squelch off, they do believe that we're better off with that for margins and general management at this distance with the Omnis. As soon as we go out of PTC and go on the high gain, we'll be much better off.
Okay, Bob.
And 17 Houston, you can do without your water dump now. We're in good shape. We'll dump at 94 hours.
Does that mean we can go ahead with the urine dump on schedule?
Say again there, Gino, on the urine dump. Say again, Gino, on the urine dump.
Roger. Can we press on with it on schedule?
That's affirmative, sir. It's just that we don't need to do the water dump, that's all.
Oh. Okay, fine.
Roger, we have you back again, 17.
Okay, we may play the advanced squelch by ear a little bit. We get an awful lot of noise when you guys drop off the line. So if that's all right, we'll just use it as required. Also, I'm on frame 163 on the hot supply. And I just completed two pictures of the Earth about 5 minutes ago, and there's one that I did not report late yesterday at about 7230 GET, set of two pictures of the Earth.
Copy that. Say again, that time was at 7830. You were sleeping then.
Peggy, that was 7230.
Okay, copy that. And part of the reason we had a little problem that this last time, Jack, was we planned to call the Omnis, and we didn't get the word around down here, and we didn't call the Omni D in time. We're still planning on doing that, and I think we'll be more coordinated next time.
Okay, we'll bear with you.
And Jack, I presume that's magazine November.
That's a firm, Bob.
Omni Charlie 17, please. And Apollo 17 Houston, for your information, we are scrubbing mid-course 4, and you can stay in TTC until 8330, which will be about when you start to get ready for LOI anyway. We'll give you a call on that.
This is Apollo Control, Apollo 17 now 14,948 nautical miles from the moon. And Capcom Bob Parker just advising the crew that we will not require a mid-course correction prior to lunar orbit insertion. The flight dynamics officer had been reviewing tracking data and establishing another vector, as he calls it, on the trajectory. Based on that last vector, it appeared that a mid-course correction of something less than a half a foot per second would be required if performed. And Flight Director Gene Kranz made the decision to cancel the mid-course correction prior to lunar orbit insertion.
We're about three-quarters way through eating. You got some news for us?
Stand by, I'll see. Did you catch the mid-course 4 scrub?
Yes, sir. Apparently you're not getting some of our acknowledgments.
Okay, must be. Captain Young here wants to tell you that it's raining outside and the paperboy apparently hasn't come in yet. Omni Delta, please.
Delivered before he came in.
Roger, I suppose I should apologize to all the paperboys after saying that, but the news is still being put together for you guys. And stand by. And Gino, some advice to you on the gas bills. I guess suggestion down here from a surgeon is that one thing we ought to be sure to do is chew the pills thoroughly. His attorney is helps in their effectiveness quite a bit. And Dr. Young beside me also suggested if you're chewing gum, you might cut down on that a bit because he thinks this might be causing some gas.
I might add that both of those alternatives have been worked on.
We thought probably so.
Bob, although we're getting close to concentrating our attention on the moon, it doesn't decrease the interest in looking back at the patterns of activity we can see on the Earth. That storm I talked about yesterday that was in North Africa looks like it has left that area and has moved in. Maybe if it's there at all, it's just over the Iberian Peninsula. And maybe Gibraltar in that area is getting a little activity today.
Okay, copy that, Jack.
It does not look very well organized, but it's not very well organized right now, but it's right out on the limb and it's hard to get a good view of it.
Okay.
The storm, I guess, yesterday I thought might be moving into the Cape of Good Hope. Looks like it's dissipating and also staying south of that area. The whole of Africa is essentially clear, except in the southern part of the intertropical convergence area where there's scattered patches of fairly dense clouds. They're probably getting scattered rain showers of some kind in there this morning. Some of those extend farther south than we've seen them down into South Africa. There's on one of the earlier revs, although now it's just a terminator, it looked like there was a depression developing about 30 degrees longitude east of Madagascar in the middle of the Indian Ocean. A little bit north, east of Madagascar, there's also a new area of clouds developed that looks like it's getting organized into a cyclone pattern.
Roger, Omni Alpha, please.
Okay, you got it?
Thank you. Okay, and Jack, well, you guys are finishing your lunch, your breakfast there, excuse me. Are you all on your headsets?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
okay, let me brief you on a little funny that we saw last night, and I'll start the briefing by mentioning that at the present time it is not a great concern, but just to keep you up to date with what's going on, let me mention it to you. about 70 hours, which was probably about the time of your last exercise period, we saw three bunnies with the hydrogen tanks, as I say, none of which is causing any great concern. The first of these was a shift of the limits of the pressure switch, the one that turns the heaters on and off. You remember there's two of those switches, one on tank one and one on tank two, and they work in series. And one of those switches, we can't tell which, but we suspect is probably tank two because of the other funnies I'll get to in a minute in tank two. One of those switches went from a 13 PSI range, in other words, a plus or minus 6.5 PSI range. It changed its range down to plus or minus 1.5 PSI, so it's now total range is only 3 PSI. The main result of that is that it means that these pressure switches and the motor switch turning the heater on acts more frequently over shorter periods of time. The second thing which we observed following this, and we're not at all sure that there's any correlation between this and the others, we observed a high frequency pressure oscillation in tank two. It's about a 5 PSI peak-to-peak oscillation, frequency of about 2 cycles per second. And this lasted for about 3 to 5 minutes. A third funny that we observed, and this was in tank two. The third funny that we observed was an erratic and possibly correlated with the high frequency oscillations, but an erratic total fuel cell currents. And here again, we were looking at peak-to-peak variations of something like 5 amps or 5 to 10 amps. And the suspicion is that coupled with the shift in the limits of the pressure switch, if some acoustic vibrations were set up in that tank, we may have seen them causing the oscillation of the motor switch, which was then reflected in the fuel cell currents. The again, these erratic and possibly correlated fuel cell currents lasted for about 3 to 5 minutes, and since then, all during the night, they've been no further events of this sort, and the pressure switch with its reduced limits has been acting quite normally, just with the reduced limits overnight. As I say again, we're looking at it. People are studying it in great detail with no real answer at the moment, but there is no great concern at present, and it appears that the worst that can happen is for the motor switch to fail because of overuse. And if this were to happen, it would force us to go to manual management of the heaters on the H2 tanks. But that appears at the moment to be the worst that we can anticipate from this group of funnies. Over.
Okay, Bob, I understand that. You know, I wonder if we ought to stop stirring the cryos the way we've been doing it.
That has been suggested, but again, it's not very clear that any of these things are terribly correlated.
Okay, also, you know, if you want to reduce the activity on that switch, depending on how much you need to have it done during quiet periods, such as these periods, thing like that, we could go to manual operation.
Negative, Jack, because the switch, Omni Bravo, please, 17. If you pull out your schematics there, you'll find that the no matter what you do, the you can turn the thing off, in fact, and the switch will continue to operate the motor switch. The pressure switch will continue to operate the motor switch off the service module buses. There's nothing you can do. The only thing you'll do if you go from auto to manual or off is you'll keep the current from going to the heaters, but the motor switch will still operate.
Thank you for the education.
I've been corrected. The frequency of the pressure oscillation was more in the vicinity of a cycle every 4 or 5 seconds. And seven.
Let me ask a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Make sure I understand this. You're not sure whether the heater cycling and the pressure cycling were correlated. Is that correct?
That's affirmative.
In a cycle every 4 or 5 seconds, is it possible for heaters to affect the tank that fast?
That's not possible. So the only thing that really we think could, the tank is too much of a heat sink to do it that way. What may have happened was that if you set up an oscillation, a mechanical oscillation in the tank through one way or another, that this could then have acted back up on the motor, but the motor switch in driving the heaters could not have reinforced the oscillation because the tank has too much of a heat sink.
When did you say this happened with respect to our exercise period?
That's not well pinned down, 17. We do know it hasn't occurred since about 71 hours, and it did occur at approximately 70 hours, which was at about the time of your exercise period, but we haven't been able to correlate that exactly with the start of or the finish of the exercise period.
Well, you know, you should be able to do that because of the biomed, at least on me, and Ron was on too. But as soon as I started exercising, you should have the biomed data on my heart rate. It was an unscheduled exercise period. We just went into it before heat period there, I think. Let me check back.
Okay, and we can check back and try and be more specific on what the times were there in terms of your exercise period also. I might... Omni Charlie, please, there, 17. And we might mention that oscillations like this have been seen on the ground under somewhat different circumstances, but oscillations like this have been seen on the ground in ground tests previously. And I might say also that as far as other things in the spacecraft are concerned, everything looks absolutely normal, nominal as the case may be, and in great shape. And I'd emphasize again that we've seen none of this oscillation again since 71 hours. Over.
Okay, Bob, that was, as you say, pretty close to the exercise. I can't pin it down in the checklist exactly, but it was somewhere after AlphaMed was complete and before we changed that canister. And I think we changed that canister a little early. But 70-50. So I think the medic should have pretty good data on when we were exercising. And the reason I say that, because I was exercising anyway, I'm sort of running in place against the LEB and conceivably could have gotten an oscillation going in the tank.
Roger, understand that. Omni Delta 17. And 17, we did a little investigation at times down here. We found that at 71.12, you were exercising at 130 beats per minute there, Jack. And we think the exercise period ended about 10 minutes later at 71.22. The H2 tank funny started at about 71.37 with the pressure switch shift and 71.42 with the oscillations. Over. So there it's at least 15 minutes after the exercise period was over.
Okay, I just wanted to clear my reputation, Bob. Now it's perfectly clean again.
As clean as ever, anyway. I guess where he decided we'd let we'll run the Omnis down here instead of having you guys switch them all the time. So if you'll select Omni Bravo at the present time, then we'll take over and run the Omnis for you.
Okay, Bob, it's not too big a deal. If anytime you think you want to talk to us continuously, go ahead and call them if we're not busy.
Okay. Copy that. Let us know when you're ready. I got a pad here for you guys to copy, but there's no big hurry on it. Finish your eat period and give us a call.
Okay, I'll be with you in about 5 minutes.
Say again there, 17.
Be right with you, Bob.
All right.
And looking at the flight plan, we're going to go ahead and change the canister, and we got the H2 purge line heaters on. We're going to configure for the urine dump. We'll go ahead and do our stop our PTC at 8330, and then we'll do our P52.
Roger. Copy that. And 17, that P52 at 8310 was primarily intended for the MCC-4. There is some more following anyway before LOI, so we suggest you scrub the P52 at 8310.
Okay, fine. I may just do a little OJT without torquing.
That's your business.
Apollo Control at 82 hours, 57 minutes. We're completing a shift handover at this time in Mission Control. The team of flight controllers headed by Flight Director Jerry Griffin coming on now to replace the Gene Kranz team. The spacecraft communicator on the upcoming shift is astronaut Gordon Fullerton. We do not plan to have a change of shift press briefing at this shift change.
Bob, when we come out of PTC, then you want us to go right to the SIP store, jet attitude?
That's affirmative, 17.
Okay, you want to do that about 80,
30,
huh?
Roger. That's affirmed.
Okay. Bob, what band are you going to give me?
Okay, I got a...
Coming up.
Paracynthian plus 2 hour abort pad here. Houston.
Yeah, Bob, 17. Say, for a while here, why don't you guys go ahead and manage the Omnis? I think we can get things done a little better. And when it becomes inconvenient for us to switch, we'll let you know.
Okay, you want us to call them to you? Is that what you're saying by you? We manage the Omnis?
Yeah, we lose 5 or 10 minutes going around here without comm, and usually it breaks up seemingly when somebody has something to say, either you or us.
Roger, okay. That's fine. Stand by.
That's up to you guys, but it seems to be more convenient.
Okay, things are good now, Jack. Do you want to copy this Paracynthian plus 2 pad at the present time?
I'm just about ready, Bob.
Okay, give me a call when you get it. And while you're getting getting ready there. You might think back to yesterday afternoon and just after the exercise period, and the question that's raised is whether you were running the DAC or some other miscellaneous equipment at that time, which might have caused some high current usage. Or erratic current usage. Okay, copy that. Omni Charlie 17. And 17, your faithful night shift. Capcom is signing off. I'll talk to you on the surface tomorrow. Good luck.
Thank you, Robert. Looking forward to seeing you there. Are you leaving us, Bob?
That's firm. He's already left.
Boy, he doesn't stick around long, does he? And he wanted to read that pad to me. Well, that's too bad. Okay, Gordy, I can take the pad now.
Okay, Jack, it's a Paracynthian Plus 2 SPS / GNN. Weight is 66373 plus 118 minus 014. Ignition time is 09049 5582 plus 17875 minus 18917 minus 239-68. Attitude is 237-126-332. And all the rest of the pad is NA. GDC aligned stars are Sirius and Rigel. 122-354-000. Knowledge is none. Remarks, number one, burn docked. Number two, assumes LOI rest mat. Over.
Okay, Paracynthia Plus 2, SDS GNN 66373, plus 118, minus 014-090-495582, plus 17875, minus 18917, minus 239-68, 237-126-332. Rest of pad is NA. Sirius and Rigel, 122-354-000. No LH. Remark 1, bird dock 2 is LOI rest mat assumed.
That's correct. Need Omni Delta now. Okay. America, switch to Omni Alpha. America, Houston, I have the morning news, if it's a convenient time.
Fire away, Gordo.
Okay, first of all, the weather, it's raining fairly heavily all night. There's a lot of water standing around. Temperatures here are in the high 50s, but it's supposed to get a little cooler tonight with a low in the 40s. I think you know how the Dallas Redskin game came out. Only thing additional mentioned here is that chances look good now that Washington and Dallas may meet in the rubber game for the National Conference representative in the Super Bowl. In the other pro game yesterday, a field goal by Don Cockcroft was the difference in a 26-24 win by Cleveland over rival Cincinnati. Other sports highlights. The Pittsburgh Steelers play the Oilers today in the Dome. Other big games, the Atlanta at San Francisco, Green Bay at Minnesota, and Baltimore at Kansas City. Tennessee State beat Drake University in the Pioneer Bowl 29-7. And East Texas State beat Carson Newman in the NAIA football playoff. The Southwest Conference has pulled out of the U.S. Olympic Committee. Some college basketball scores. The Houston Cougars routed Xavier last night at Hoffman's Pavilion 114-73. And Rice down George Washington 93-89. Gino, you'd be glad to hear Purdue ripped TCU 101-70. And it was Texas over Oklahoma State 86-66. And SMU over Oklahoma City 106-83. We couldn't find any score on Caltech, Jack, but switch to Omni Bravo, please. But one final score. Ron, Kansas lost to Iowa 69-56. The only thing new on the plane crash Friday in Chicago It's reported here that the plane apparently waved off because another plane was still on the assigned runway. The Democratic Party's stormy session in Washington saw the old guard Democrats apparently take back control of the party from pro-McGovern forces. Mrs. Jean Westwood was replaced as party chairman by Texas lawyer businessman Robert Strauss. Former President Truman appears to be more than holding his own at a hospital in Kansas City. There's a good chance the 88-year-old former chief executive may be taken off the critical list. There's been a one-day interruption in the secret peace talks between Dr. Henry Kissinger and Lee Duck To. The two conferred for over 3 hours yesterday. Both sides have agreed not to talk to newsmen on any substantive matters. In other news highlights, President Nixon has named Daniel Moynihan as U.S. ambassador to India. And Chilean President Allende has flown to Cuba to visit Fidel Castro. There's an interesting one. A 45-year-old pilot lost in the Arctic for 31 days has been found alive and well. Three companions were killed. And Soviet Party boss Leonid Brezhnev has delayed his scheduled visit to the U.S. It looks as if the visit may come in the fall rather than this coming spring. One last note, the news media says the flight of Apollo 17 is the smoothest on record so far. And I call that last one pretty accurate reporting. Over.
Thank you, Gordo. Appreciate the news. Sounds like things are still happening down there.
Got some more parochial news here. Go ahead.
I just want to tell you we're starting our way stumps.
Okay. A little more parochial news. I have your oxygen consumable status here. Tank one is still running 4% below the line. The other two are right on the line. Really no news there. Same with the hydrogen. All three are essentially right on the pre-flight line. So.
To hear it. We'll bring all of it home if we can.
Okay. Like Omni Charlie, please.